Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ.
All right.
That's 966-5299. Toll free, 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 23rd of December, Anno Domini 2023. That's right. It's Christmas Eve Eve. It's also the Rumball edition of Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Chris Horn, and it's not my fault.
Yet. At 6 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Did you pay your dues? Here comes the news.
You know one interesting fact, though, about this year? The last day of the year is 123123.
Yep. It's a
sounds like a Sesame Street episode.
Sesame Street episode or a certain or a dance. We have Chris Horn with us today. Steve Ray, one step ahead of the law somewhere in the Southwest. Oh no, at Apple headquarters apparently. And
getting all those Christmas gifts ready to go out the door because if you haven't ordered any of your Christmas stuff, I'd kind of say you're hosed.
Yeah, you may be.
Ain't going to happen now,
SOL,
folks.
Severely out of luck. But we want to thank Chris, who took time off from whatever he does, to come here.
As little as possible.
As little as possible. To come here on a Saturday and
play with us.
And play with us. All right, to the news. Oh, and by the way, you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll free 800-790-0415. Microsoft's plan to end support for Windows 10 operating system could result in about 240 million personal computers being tossed out, potentially adding to landfill waste. Because the old PCs cannot run Windows 11. So if when Windows 10 ends and you can no longer update it, if you still want to be secure on the internet, as secure as you can get with Windows, you're going to have to go to Windows 11, which is going to mean a new machine, which means the old machine, well, not for you, but for a lot of people. And the electronic waste from these PCs could weigh an estimated 1 billion, that's billion with a B, pounds. While many PCs could remain functional for years past the end of OS support, demand for devices without security updates could be low. Microsoft announced a plan to provide security updates for Windows 10 devices until October 2028 for an undisclosed annual price. If the pricing structure for extended Windows 10 support mirrors past trends, migrating to newer PCs could be more cost-effective, increasing the number of older PCs headed to scrap. Microsoft aims to discontinue support for Windows 10 by October of 2025. The next generation of the OS anticipated to being to bring advanced artificial intelligence technology to PCs could potentially boost the sluggish PC market. Of course, you can always run a version of Linux or Chrome OS Flex on those laptops, making them useful until they fall apart from age. Mm-hmm. But Microsoft hates that idea. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is end of support for Win 10 could obsolete 240 million PCs. Your choices are, I'll never give up Windows 10. Never. I've already moved to 11. Mm-hmm. Well, time to learn Linux. Well, time to learn Chrome OS Flex. No idea what I'm going to do. Going commando, baby. And Windows. Give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. We've already got 18 votes in the poll, and I've already moved to 11, is tied with Windows just gained the lead at 20 votes.
But this is the perfect time, you know, I like the look and feel of Windows. Linux, you can put it on there and have it look like Windows. The menu structures and everything else, and, well, I got this program. There's probably a resource within Linux that you can go to and have a program that'll do the exact same thing.
there are very few programs that do not have an equivalent or the same program under Linux or under Mac OS. And there's nothing, I mean, I'm not saying you can't go get a Mac OS. The focus of this story is, what are you going to do with your old PC? Yep. Well, and you're not going to put Mac OS on
so
that.
So it doesn't go to a landfill.
Because there's, so I don't know about the upgrade situation. If you have Windows 10 and Microsoft tells you you can't upgrade to Windows 11, you're in big trouble.
Right.
I have personally used a utility called Rufus, which runs on Windows, and it lets you download Windows 10 or 11 and make an installer on a USB stick.
Right.
And I think there's like an advanced mode. And what you can say is you can do things like click a checkbox and tell it, don't make me use a Microsoft account to register Windows. You can also say, ignore the requirements for Windows 11 on this hardware.
Nice.
And you can just install Windows 11 on hardware that is not normally supported. And at least for the short term, that would get you on an operating system, on a computer, where you have the required security updates.
For a while at least, until Microsoft catches you.
Yeah. I don't know if you've ever tried to run a mainline OS on hardware that's not to spec. And what you run into, in my experience, is eventually they start using features in the CPU, in the chips, where if you don't have it, the performance is so terrible.
And even before that, response time is measured with a calendar.
Yes. Right. It's slow. It's painful. But it would avoid you having to pay for a new computer.
Right. Or you can, if you're interested in it, you can try Chrome OS Flex, which turns your old laptop into your old computer into a Chromebook.
Yes.
Or you could try Linux, which turns your computer into whatever you want it to be, including, as Dave said, you could make it look exactly like Windows if you want to. There are versions of Linux that do that. Or you can make it look like anything you want. There's a version, you change the GUI. You don't even change the back end, just the front end. And there are front ends that make it look like a Star Trek computer. There are front ends that make it look like a Mac. There are front ends that make it look like anything you want it to look like.
And the performance-wise, they're amazing.
Yeah, they really are amazing. It's like buying a new computer. They're much faster, Linux machines and Chrome OS Flex, much faster than your Windows machine. And again, there's almost the average person. Now, you know, if you're a high-end photographer or someone who does very high-end AutoCAD stuff, right, you cannot use these machines. Okay, we're not talking about you. We're talking about the 99.9% of the rest of America.
The world out there.
The world, yeah. Who can. And it's you can find equivalents, if not the same program, for anything you would want to do. All right, to the phones. Our first caller is Bill from Greece, New York. Hiya, Bill. What's up?
Happy holidays, and my Christmas present is you guys.
Thank you. That's a very nice Christmas present.
Yes, it is. I had a really nice experience on my cell phone. I saw a new cell provider called Visible, and you get unlimited talk data and text for $25 a month. So I went to my cell phone provider to transfer, and Visible wanted a transfer PIN number. And I told them I need a transfer PIN number, and they said, why? And I said, well, this other program is cheaper and provides more than you're providing. And he says, what do they provide? And I says, I get, for $25 a month instead of $30, I get unlimited data, unlimited text, 100 gigabytes of, what do you call it, where you run things off your
data.
Phone.
Cellular data?
Not data. The
streaming?
Where you can, what?
Streaming?
No.
Let him finish the sentence. What is it you can run off your, what?
Where you can make it a base station for something else.
Oh, tethering.
Sure. Tethering.
Yeah, I get 100 gigabytes of tethering with them, and I get unlimited data for $25 a month.
Wow.
And the guy says, well, we can do that. I go, what? And I said, there's no place on your webpage to show that plan. He says, don't worry. He says, I can do it for you, and all you got to do is check in on the app, and we'll do it for $25 a month, and as a special for transferring and keeping with us, because you're such a great customer, we're going to take $10 off your first month. Your first month will only be $15.
Nice.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Why didn't you do this 6 months ago?
Yeah.
And one other point. You mentioned the high-end photographers. I'm a high-end photographer, and I have no problem using Linux. I use a program called Darktable. Darktable is an equivalent of Photoshop and Lightroom put together,
yeah.
And it even has more sliders than either Photoshop or Lightroom. It does importing. It does file management. So if you're a high-end photographer, try Darktable. And if you want to, you could use RAW Therapy, but I like Darktable. They are both high-end photographer RAW editing softwares.
Mm, good
nice.
To know.
And happy holidays, and thank you guys for showing up.
Thank you. Have fun, Bill. Have a great, great holiday. Boy, see, you can get the equivalents that you need,
yeah,
and sometimes even better programs with Linux. You know, I get people constantly. There's a site called alternative2.net, which can easily give you all the alternatives to any program you want. You just go there and say, okay, I've got... I want to use Lightable, not Lightable, the other one, whatever it is. But you pick something and you say find it, and it says find an alternative to, and you type in Photoshop. And
well, I'm just worried that if we're his Christmas present and he wants to return us, it's going to be a really messy situation.
Or if he wants, what's he going to exchange us for?
Right. What is our relative value in this market?
Unvaluable. No, that's not right.
I feel like I'm on sale for sure.
Yeah. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Andy from Greece, New York. What's up, Andy?
Hey, Nick. Merry Christmas to all.
Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you. And we've got an interesting situation on my wife's cell phone. We have this, I guess it's a program, keeps popping up both in Facebook and Messenger, called Name Test.
What's it called?
Name Test.
Name Test.
Okay.
If you say so.
Yeah, well, that's what it says it is. And the in Messenger, I just hold my finger right down on the, and it actually comes up like an animated little picture instead of a person's face. I'll hold it, and it pops up the menu, and I'll hit delete, and I go down, and it goes away and then comes back later the same day, the next day, a couple days later, as a new message. And we keep trying to get rid of it, and I've looked through. I can't find it anywhere else. I'm not going to go into it and activate it. I figure it's just some kind of a way to get a credit card number or something. But anyway, how do you get rid of this thing? Or can't you, because it's Facebook and they're going to do what they darn well want?
Oh, this is the one on Facebook. Okay, because
yeah,
there are two. There's a Name Test app, and there is Name Tests on Facebook.
Name Tests on Facebook.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's different. Wow. So if you've already started using it.
Nope.
Okay. And you've looked in your apps and you don't find Name Tests in there.
I didn't, but I'm going to go back and look again. It popped up again this morning, and how dare it be on my wife's phone, because she doesn't want it there.
Right.
Yeah. And therefore it, you know, I get yelled at for some reason.
And that's the club we're in, friend.
Yes. And, so I've tried a number of things, and I did look once before, and I didn't see it in apps, and I didn't see it. We haven't done anything to activate it and or play with it or anything other than delete it constantly.
And it's entirely within Facebook, right? So there's There's got to be a way to block
it. So if you go into the settings in Facebook.
Okay.
I don't think I have Facebook set up on this machine. No. Wow. Wow, I don't think it could be. No, I haven't used that name in forever. But there, theoretically, if you go into the menus in Facebook, under settings, you should find apps. And under apps, you should find... excuse me. Under apps, you should find name tests.
But, it, mean, it could be that her preferred state for Facebook is not to have any apps or stuff attached to it. And that's, I would just uninstall or block all of that. I mean, first of all, there has to be a way to just block that thing.
Right. Well, you can always say, I don't want to, in the settings, you can always say, I don't want any apps. I don't want any plugins. I don't want any of that stuff.
I think I have Facebook here on my phone. And since we're talking about phones, why don't I just do this?
Yeah.
Now, if I go in and say I don't want any apps or plugins, would that affect Lookout?
I don't know what Lookout is.
Yeah. Lookout? I don't know what that is either.
Or is it Look?
Outlook?
No.
Outlook for email? That's a different program.
No. No, I'm remembering. It's one of the things that Nick recommends in the Tango, and it's for cell phones. Lookout.
Yes, and no, it should not affect that because it's not, it's apps in Facebook, not apps on your phone.
Okay. Okay.
All right, where's my,
This is the part of the program where we reveal that out of all the things on the internet, we apparently use Facebook the least.
Boy, ain't that the truth. Okay, there's my 6-digit code.
Grow a few grandkids, and all of a sudden you wind up on Facebook.
Yeah, I got on Facebook because of my daughter anyway, so yes.
So we went to a Christmas party last night, and my youngest is 13, and he laid this pronouncement on us.
Uh-oh.
He said, pretty soon, this Christmas party, it's not going to be parents and kids. It's going to be adults and old people.
Yeah. For,
that's going to stay with me.
30, 40 years. Every year we used to have the nearly annual Labor Day Drinkathon and Talent Show.
Oh, dear.
And there came a point where we were kind of done with that.
Yeah.
And my daughter said, yeah, I'm not doing that. We're done. We're done with it. But yeah, under settings, in Facebook, under your your account information, there's settings and privacy.
Mm-hmm.
And under settings and privacy, there's settings. And under settings, you should be able to. They moved it.
That's what I'm looking for on my phone. Is all right. There used to be apps and stuff.
Well,
I'd gone looking for the apps, and it wasn't where it used to be, and I haven't been able to figure out where they moved it to.
Well, you can search for apps, and you'll see apps and websites, and then you can see which. I have no apps, but you can remove any apps you don't want on your Facebook. So at some point, she said yes to something that gave her this.
She didn't. She never does that.
No, of course not. But if she had done so, whoever snuck in and grabbed her phone and did that on Facebook.
Grandkids, for sure.
Yeah.
Started something going on. So that's probably where you're going to find it. To remove.
Okay. Go under apps and then go after yes. Well, the soon-to-be 7-year-old granddaughter was over last night and was telling grandma was asking what she wants for Christmas. And she said, a phone.
Sure. Of course she did.
Yeah.
And while she's got three older sisters, two of whom, they're 13 and 16, have phones.
Right.
And she said, I want a phone. And so my wife looks and says, well, who would you call? You. You know, kid's not stupid. She knows how to play this game.
Exactly.
I'm calling you, Nana, you know. And she said, well, but Mommy said, when I get to be fifth grade, I can have a phone. And she's in first now.
Yeah.
She's got to, and she's, well, what about Evie? She's got to wait 2 years because she's in third now. Okay. So she said, so
yeah, we got our daughter a phone when she was in about sixth or seventh grade, but we locked it so she could only call us and 911. And her aunt. Just those three people. Four. Me, my wife, her aunt, 911.
All right. I think here's the order to go through on your phone to find the apps.
Now, this is this is an iPhone, which his wife doesn't have, but should be similar, if not the same.
Hopefully, the app is more or less the same. So, right. If you go into your settings and you hit the sprocket up in the top right, it'll say settings and privacy. And then I scroll down until I found your activity. And then in that list is apps and websites. And I bet that you could just walk through that list and start removing them. So I can see that I can turn stuff off. I can block things. I think that is a good start. And hopefully you'll find the one that is the name thing that keeps popping up.
Yeah.
It's the only place I can see that really it looks like the right place to block that.
Yeah, that would be the spot.
Yeah, every time I see the phone doesn't update, I go, oh no, because now nothing's going to be where it used to be.
Well, yeah, that's the other problem, of course, but... you know, you should be able to remove name test from the system.
Okay. So I gotta get to apps and start blocking them. All right. Yeah, because this sucker's got to go away.
Yep.
It's making my life too miserable.
Well, do it now. I mean, we're here for a while. Do it now and call us back if it doesn't work. And we'll blame Dave.
There you go. All right. Thanks, Andy.
All right. Merry Christmas, guys.
Yep.
Watch out for the rum balls. Don't bite.
Yeah, I haven't even had one yet. And those are not the rum balls. These are the rum balls.
I'm starting slow.
Start slow. Work up to it.
Bye-bye.
Dave brought in not just rum balls, but also chocolate sugar cookies, which are excellent. But I had one of those already. Those are
sugar just high.
Excellent. But I think during the break, are we allowed to have rumbles on the air on public radio? I don't know. But we're going to have one during the break. That's what we'll do. So when we come back, it'll be a slightly different show. It'll be Dean Martin. It'll be Dean Martin. But yeah, you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. We'll be happy to take your Chris is here. Chris is doing 3D printing. So if you've got a 3D printing question, along with phones and Macs and kind of whole bunches of stuff, he's here. Let's tap his brain. Oh, and he's got a PC too. Is that what we're on?
I came loaded for bear.
Holy mother of pearl! We're gonna take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Chris Horn, me, Nick Francesco. And you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You are listening to the longest running computer show in the known universe. That would be Soundbites, right here on the truly great and truly grateful to you that we are member supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Computer problems? Get answers from the experts. Soundbites, noon to two Saturdays, only on Jazz 90.1.
We should listen to that.
It sounds like it would be fun. We should. Yeah. Write it down. What time was that?
I think he said noon to 2.
On what day?
Saturdays.
Write that down.
Yeah. Sounds familiar.
What's on our calendar.
Yeah, we'll put it there. We'll do this. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Chris Horn today.
Today, just for today.
Hey, no
and 35 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And we have Catherine from Wacabuck, New York on the line. Hiya, Catherine.
Hi, how are you?
Peachy, how are you? Now, I should tell people Wacabuck is way down in Westchester County, which New Yorkers think of as upstate.
I know. And I'm actually here visiting my daughter. I live in Greece, New York.
Oh, there you go. You're all right then. We'll talk to you. So what's up?
All right. I have recently been named editor of our small yacht club's newsletter.
Wonderful.
And they use Microsoft Publisher. I do not want to use Microsoft Publisher, though.
Could you recommend
an alternative?
Well, again, alternative2.net is a great place to start. And if you go to there, if you go to and you look up Microsoft Office Publisher, there are multiple alternatives. Are you using Windows or a Mac?
We're using Windows. It's a PC, and we use Windows.
Okay. So there's a program called Scribus, Scribus.
Yes.
Which is excellent, by the way, and is free.
Mm-hmm.
There's a paid one called Affinity Publisher. For you Mac users out there, just to tell about it, it's Pages. Those similar stuff. There's one called Mark, M-A-R-Q, which has both a free and a paid version, and that's entirely online. But, you know, I would start out with Scribus. It's free, and if you hate it, you've lost nothing but a couple hours. But it's a desktop publishing application. It's designed for, you know, layout, typesetting, all of that stuff.
Okay, that sounds great, because it's just like I said, I don't want to pay for anything.
Yep.
Because my alternative would be to upgrade to what Microsoft Office, and I'd have to have the paid version. I don't want to do that. I'd rather have something that was free.
And there you are.
What I like to question is, why are they using Publisher? Is there some feature or something about doing layout in it where they really need that kind of application? Could you get away with just doing a Google Doc or Open Office or something along those lines?
Sure.
We use MailChimp to send it out.
Yep.
So I don't know if that's the reason they do it. I just heard it, and they've been doing it like this for years. And I just was like, well, this is silly to use a publisher. I don't want to pay for it. So I thought I would do that and then upload it to our mail delivery service and then send it out to all our members.
Right. And Scribus, you know, does PDF, so it's probable that that's the way you're sending it out. So it's really just how you lay it out. And Scribus will do that. Scribus also does both animated and interactive PDFs. So it does forms. It does all. It just does a lot. So give it a try. It is free. Excuse me.
Okay.
I seem to have completely lost my voice. And I'm blaming the. I'm going to blame the
rum balls.
The rum balls.
And you only had one.
And I've only had one, and that.
That he told us about.
Probably enough for now. But you can find it Scribus. Scribus. I'll put a link at some point on the on our website. But it's essentially a professional layout program, and it's free. And because it's open source, you get updates, and it runs on, for everybody to know this, it runs on Linux, Windows, Mac, BSD, Chrome OS.
It'll run on Chrome OS?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's hard not to get it. Well, at least under Linux, right?
Yeah,
If nothing else.
If it doesn't work well, I think the theme today is it's going to be Dave's fault.
It's Dave's fault. It does color separation, CMYK, spot colors, ICC color management. I mean, it does pretty much everything the average desktop publisher needs. So I think you're going to have no trouble with it.
Okay. All right. Then that's what I'm going to try, and maybe I'll call you back later when I've done it and tell you how great it was.
Please do so.
Yes.
Okay.
And have a great holiday in Wackabuck.
Thank you. It's right near Whack-a-Mole. I always say Whack-a-Mole.
No, there isn't a town called Whack-a-Mole.
There isn't. But,
there should be. Yeah. Now that you've said it, I think there should be.
All right. Thanks, Catherine. Have fun.
You too. Okay. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Yeah, Wackabuck, New York. When I lived in New York, there were people who would say, Westchester County, that's upstate. No. No, it is not.
You know what I was thinking?
Watertown is upstate.
Right. Right. If Steve's working today.
Well, Steve's in the office today.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm just wondering if he had any Mac problems at work, he could call in.
He could call in and get an answer. Lord knows he wouldn't be the first. So,
two thumbs are from Steve.
I have to put that in the. I have to put Scrivas in the thing here. So hold on a second. I can't do 16 things at once anymore.
I think every time I've needed to use Microsoft Publisher or Scrivas, I've gone back to one of the apps I already have, like OpenOffice, and started a new document and said, okay, is there a template for a newsletter? And started from there, and it was a lot easier. Because most of the time, if I'm doing desktop publishing, I'm not really doing desktop publishing.
Right.
I'm just doing something with a little more layout than a plain old document. And they
Right.
They all have that ability.
Sorry, I'm adding a link to our website for Scrivas. And there it is. All right. You should be able to see that on the website now. So Catherine down in Wackabuck can upstate in Wackabuck.
Yes.
Can get that. All right. Back to the phones. Our next caller is Andy in Greece again, I think. What's up?
Yep, it is. Just a quick follow-up. I wound up under apps and websites.
Yep.
And there was Name Test and Words for Friends, which he doesn't play, neither of them.
Yep.
And there was one called Poll, but it said expired. But I just tapped the little arrow, and it said I could remove, and I just removed all three of them. So we'll see if that keeps it all gone away.
Excellent. Well, hopefully. As long as she doesn't then install it again.
Well, if it doesn't show up, she won't tap on it. And she didn't, as she said, I didn't install it. I just...
Yeah.
Tried to make it go away, and in the process of making it away, she tapped on it, which it hooked itself up.
Right. We are finding that there are a number of programs that Facebook will just decide you should have. And sometimes you install them yourself by incorrectly hitting a yes when they sneakily reword something. And sometimes it just happens. So it's gone now, and that's the important thing.
Well, and I know where to go to get rid of it. While I was working on that, my brother-in-law showed up, and he had a question, and I couldn't answer it, so I'll ask. He noticed in his text messages when he gets them, he's starting to see, rather than names and full phone numbers, he'll get like a 5 or 6 digit phone, or not phone number, but 5 or 6 digit number.
Yeah, there's a name for that. I'm not sure what those service numbers are called.
Okay.
But I think it's got to be something where there's a delivery service that companies like Facebook and Google use in collaboration with the phone companies, your cell phones, So that they can deliver you text messages in volume, but it's not a real number. It's not a real phone number. Yeah. You can't call it.
No, but you would see it like on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, you can get a six-digit, used to be five, but I think now the new ones are six, text-only number.
Is that what that is? If the whole point of it is it's just text messages only?
Strictly text messages. And you actually pay extra for that, but you can now send a million text messages, That's what that's for. So you can get those and you will see them once in a while. Sometimes they're just advertising.
Here's your login code, right?
Right. Here's your login code, that sort of thing. So they are legitimate numbers. But they may not be legitimate content.
And smaller companies using them could just be using a paid service. So you can't even necessarily trust the fact that code 12345 is always going to be from Google or whomever. Although Google's probably not a good example. Dancing with the Stars is probably not paying for a six-digit delivery number just for themselves.
Right. Right.
Well, they actually have a six-digit or five-digit delivery number for each star on the show, and you text your messages.
Right.
Numbers.
Yeah. So you can get multiple numbers. System. It's real easy to do, and there are even little devices you can buy to stick in your computer. You put the number in that, and then you can send all the text messages you want right from that.
If there's anybody we could help, it's going to be Dancing with the Stars. That's why I'm here.
Well, it was, and I've seen it on other shows too, but that's the one that I can put a name to right off the top of my head.
Right. If you're looking for them, they're called short codes.
Short codes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And they're basically designed for marketing.
Okay. I will let my brother-in-law know that.
There you go. And he can look up short codes, and there's a whole bunch of places to talk about what short codes are and what
they're for. All that stuff. Yeah.
Okay. He can call back in and deliver an oral report on his summary.
Well, okay. Anyhow, thank you for your help with the first problem, and thank you for the information on the second problem.
Our pleasure.
And I'll let you get on to everybody else.
Thanks.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Yep.
Bye-bye. Yeah, you will see those. I get them a lot when I do two-factor authentication.
Yes. Yeah.
You get a short code for that.
I think I get delivery notifications for UPS and FedEx and that kind of thing there, too.
I don't know if they cost more or less. I've never really paid. I mean, I know what they are. I just haven't paid attention to what they cost or why people would use them.
I bet they cost less than real cell phone numbers.
Right. Because you can't use them to call. You can only use them to do texting.
And they're not for the PSTN. They're not for the normal
public
phone system.
Right.
It's basically a data problem at that point.
Right.
It's just another internet thing.
Exactly. So if you get a short code, it's a legitimate number in the sense that somebody's not faking it.
Right. You can reliably trust it or block it or whatever.
Right. You treat it like a real phone number. Yeah. So if it, you know, I've gotten spam from them and I immediately block them. I've gotten real things from them. They are just standard stuff. All right. I'm going to read another. Read another thing here. Oh. The KB503-3375 cumulative update released during the December 2023 patch Tuesday for Windows causes Wi-Fi connectivity issues on some Windows 11 devices.
You're welcome.
You're welcome, America, and the world. Besides a massive stream of users reporting it on Reddit, Twitter, Microsoft's own community platform, shouting out the window, several universities have also issued advisories recommending students to uninstall the update and the optional cumulative update preview, KB505-32288, if you install that. Based on customer reports, this issue has impacts enterprise wireless networks with fast transition, fast roaming enabled to facilitate seamless device movement between wireless access points. So if you're in a large environment where you could be moving from place to place, I got it, not a problem, where you could be moving from place to place, you will likely go from one wireless area to another wireless area using a different access point.
Just like telephone poles.
Just like telephone poles. So you normally, that transition can take a sec, and depending on how you're doing it, it could take a second or two for that transition to be made. But when you're in an environment where you may be wandering around, you don't want to have that transition take any time. So this facilitates the seamless transition from one access point to another.
Yeah. And I think for people
until they screwed it up.
It's probably not the same thing. Like if you have a mesh network for your Wi-Fi at home, it's probably a different thing.
Right. The impact does seem confined to Windows 11, specifically those operating on version 22H2 or 23H2 feature releases. Windows 10 systems don't seem to be affected by this particular issue. There's no information currently on whether these wireless connectivity problems extend to specific models of wireless network adapters. As a temporary solution, users affected by this issue are advised to uninstall that update, KB5033375, the Windows 11 December cumulative update. And as Chris said, it seems to be affecting people on corporate laptops much more than on home laptops. Most people only have one access point or a mesh network, which is essentially one access point in their home. But if you have a corporate laptop that suddenly is dropping connectivity, that's why, and that's how you fix it. And have you had this problem? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299, toll-free 800-790-0415.
I just saw this one short reel.
Yeah.
Where this lady goes up to the door, and she's ringing this Ring doorbell. And you can tell she's British or maybe Australian. But she goes, hello? And he goes, hello? He goes, is your Wi-Fi working? He goes, yes. But mine isn't. She goes, did you do something to change it? Because it's not working. He goes, well, I put a password on it. Well, could you give me the password?
Yes.
He goes, no. Well, why not? You're sharing your Wi-Fi. I need to get some work done.
Oh, dear.
And I can't get onto the Wi-Fi. You know, it doesn't cost that much. He goes, well, if it doesn't cost that much, then get your own.
Yep. Yep. We do see that.
People. And they're going back and forth.
Yeah.
Folks, you know, if you don't take the time, you know, and you open up your network so it's not locked down, people could sit out in your driveway and steal your internet. And they could be downloading stuff that, oh, by the way, you'll get blamed for because it's on your IP address.
That's right.
Yeah.
You have to demonstrate that you didn't download that child porn or whatever it is.
Guilty until proven innocent.
That's right. That's right. That's right. So be if your Wi-Fi system does not have a password on it, put one on it today.
Most of the systems, like the Orbi that I know I got in Netgear, there's so many of them that you can go into the administrator and look at Wi-Fi and set up a password and or a guest account so you can control who's getting into it and who's not.
I think anything these days, they make it kind of hard. If you're setting up a new hardware for Wi-Fi, whatever, they make it pretty hard for you to not put a password on it.
I was just about to say that, but they also have default passwords in a lot of them.
And a lot of folks go with the default.
And a lot of people know what the default is.
Mm-hmm.
So change your password if you haven't. Set up a password that only you know. And don't make it obvious. 123456.
My luggage.
Whatever, my luggage. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Rick from Canandaigua, New York. What's up, Rick?
Hi. I have an older version of Windows 10. And I'm getting a message that the Windows update has failed, and the error code is 0x8007 0643. This has to do with the .NET framework
being
corrupted. And I went through a bunch of steps to run. I ran in the command prompt steps and ran that whole process, and eventually it fixed the problem, except as soon as Microsoft then issued an update, the problem came back. So the fix involves a whole bunch of steps. I'm wondering if there's a more permanent fix.
Well, there are a number of reasons that, there are a number of things that can cause this error code. It could be a third party. Wow.
Barty.
And I had one rumble. It could be a third party antivirus product that's blocking an install. So
I run a Microsoft antivirus.
Okay. It could be a corrupted .NET framework. It could be a corrupted .NET database. It could be that old programs weren't.
Computer,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Came with whatever came before Windows 10, and then I upgraded to Windows 10.
Yeah.
And it's always complained a little bit about something wonky with the .NET framework.
Yeah.
That seems to keep on rolling because we went past 3.5 a long time ago.
I would try and uninstall that old .NET framework and see if that'll get you over the hump. That kind of thing. Like, if Windows will let you uninstall that and not complain, you might not need it for anything. Yeah. And if something needs it, it'll tell you. Say, hey, I need the .NET framework 3.51 or whatever.
Yeah.
And it'll give you a link to go download it directly from Microsoft. Or Windows 10 will let you just click a button and install it itself.
Yeah.
But for that kind of thing, the problem you might be having is that it's so old that the updates for it just aren't reliable, and you might not need it at all.
Yeah. I suspect you're probably right.
Well, I might not bank on that, but I would still try and uninstall it and see what kind of mileage you get out of it.
Yeah. This computer, I went through the process. I thought about putting in Windows 11 on it, and I actually did the little thing in the BIOS that you turn on about the
TPM 2.0.
Yeah, and that worked. And so when I look at my Windows update, it says this PC can run Windows 11, and it has the little green check.
Oh, good.
But I'm still thinking I would just prefer to keep running Windows 10 until I have no other option. In other words, when the support ends for Windows 10. What do you think of that idea?
I think that's a perfectly good idea, but there's two issues with that. One, there's some grace period that Microsoft is giving us where the upgrade from 10 to 11 is free. And at some point, they might make that more difficult and want you to pay for it. So there's that, and I can't predict what will happen with that. And then the second is, if there's some feature or functionality that Windows 11 has that you want, then it's worth upgrading, especially if your hardware is new enough to have the actual hardware requirements for Windows 11. I think it's a relatively painless upgrade, and you don't lose anything.
Yeah. As far as I know, there's nothing in Windows 11 that I really lust.
I struggle to find anything in Windows 11 that I care about.
And this laptop is pretty old. I don't even remember. But it's got to be at least 5 years old.
Yeah.
Probably a lot older. So I'm thinking at the point where Microsoft does that, I'll just get a different machine. Or actually, I prefer Chromebook. I run them both.
Yeah. Rick, we got to go.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right. That music tells us the first hour is over, but do not despair. There's a whole nother hour of the longest running computer show in the known universe coming your way. That's right. A whole nother hour of Dave Enright. Luckily, a whole nother hour of Chris Horn. A whole nother hour of Nick Francesco. A whole nother hour of Rumballs. And a whole nother hour of you. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 800-790-0415. Take a quick bio break. I know I will. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Sound Bites right here on the truly great and truly grateful to you that we are member supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest running computer show. Back to more Sound Bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm told I'm Chris Horn.
And you could be correct about this. And 5 minutes after the hour, we are hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbite, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. This is not only the Christmas Eve show and the second last show of the year, but it is also the Rumble edition.
It sounds like akin to Rollerball.
Yeah. The James Caan version or the other one?
There's only one.
That's exactly right.
Well, like I told you, this morning when I went to go package them up, you know, and put them in the bags and all that, I pull them out of the refrigerator, I pop the lid, I go, whoa! I had to step back for a second. The wife goes, you okay? Yeah, these balls, rum balls are a little potent. She goes, yeah, I had one yesterday. They're good.
They are excellent. I think 1 hour is acceptable.
The only problem is I don't need them.
You don't need them?
I don't eat them.
Why?
They're too rough on my stomach.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Eat enough of them, won't matter.
You got to pair it with a garbage plate or something.
Yeah.
I mean, well, it's just like when I'm baking. Wife will go, you want to sample one? I go, no. I can't be eating it while I'm making it. I got to get it all done, and then I can sit back and then enjoy one.
I am worried that, you know, I'm going to get home at 2:05. And then I'm like, oh, wow, I really need a nap.
Yeah. At least if it happens after
the cause. I help the cause, you'll rest easy.
Yep. All right.
Oh, of course, if you're picked up for DWI, don't know a thing. I don't know anything.
Well, like I said, one rum ball an hour is thing acceptable.
Yep.
Google has rolled out security updates for the Chrome web browser to address a high-severity, zero-day flaw that it said had been exploited in the wild. The vulnerability assigned the CVE identifier, CVE-2023-7024, has been described as a heap-based buffer overflow bug, aren't they all? On the WebRTC framework that could be exploited to result in program crashes or arbitrary code execution. That means somebody could just come into your computer and run any program they like, including one they download to you. Members of Google's Threat Analysis Group, or TAG, has been credited with the discovery and reporting the flaw on Tuesday. No other details about the security defect have been released to prevent further abuse, with Google acknowledging that an exploit for it exists in the wild. Given that WebRTC is an open source project and that it's also supported by the Mozilla Firefox and Apple Safari, it's currently not clear if the flaw has any impact beyond Chrome and Chromium-based browsers. But if it does, you'll get an update for those as well, and you should do it.
Yeah.
The development marks the resolution of the 8th actively exploited zero-day in Chrome since the start of the year, which ain't bad. Remote code execution, security feature bypass, buffer manipulation, privilege escalation, and input validation and parsing flaws emerged as the top vulnerability types. Users are recommended to upgrade to Chrome version 120.0.6099.129 or 0.130 for Windows and 120.0.6099.129 for Mac OS and Linux to mitigate potential threats. Users of Chromium-based browsers such as Microsoft Edge, Brave, Opera, and Vivaldi are also advised to apply fixes as and when they become available. Are you up to date? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 800-790-0415.
That stupid perk update screwed up my machine again.
The Windows update or the Chrome
the
update?
The Windows update.
Oh, yeah.
I had that voice, you know, that was coming on every time I started a program. I finally got it to shut up.
Mm-hmm.
It's back, and I can't. I have checked all the settings, the speech to text, all the voice stuff is turned off.
That's really weird.
And, you know, text to speech and all that other stuff, nothing so within Windows. I spent a whole afternoon going through, searching different things and doing some Google searches. Well, try this. It's already there.
What does it say?
It just, what it does is when I go to start a program, it tells me that it's opening this program. You're
Narrator.
Is it? Narrator. Is it Cortana? Is it a Cortana thing?
Cortana.
It's Narrator.
Yeah.
You go into Windows, ease of access, and Narrator.
Nope. Already off.
Yeah.
Then I don't know what to tell you. Is it on under accessibility?
That I'd have to, think I checked
weird,
that, but
weird
I'll
stuff
double
like
check
that.
Thank you.
Double check that.
Is often accessibility,
you can,
ease of
get
access.
It in both places, right. Yeah. You can get it in both places.
Oh, that narrator.
Same program.
Yeah. It is annoying as all
But
heck.
How did that get turned on? That's
the
so
update.
Random.
The update did it again because I had it turned off. Remember, I was complaining about this about 4 months ago.
Yep.
It was randomly all of a sudden started up. I didn't turn anything on. And I finally clicked on something or uninstalled something. It went away. Now, just did this stupid update.
How do you feel about the update?
We've only got an hour. So, 45 minutes. So, 15 minutes. You can
speechless.
Also turn it off temporarily with Windows Control Enter.
I just go over to speakers.
Yeah.
Turn volume down.
Nick, what's WebRTC? And if I'm worried about my browser, is there a way I can just disable that for now?
No, you can't.
I think actually Safari will let you disable it.
Oh, maybe. I suppose you can.
There's like an advanced settings.
It's real-time communication.
Yeah.
Right. So it's basically the thing that
it does
so much these days in the web. You can turn it off, but then you lose a lot of accessibility. This uses WebRTC, for example.
Our streaming platform is all WebRTC.
Right.
Zoom might not, but anything that runs in a browser,
I believe,
like Google
Zoom
Meet,
does too. But it's basically real time communication. That's what RTC stands for.
It's the audio visual.
Yeah, it's for all
streaming.
Of that stuff. So.
Yeah, that was just Bill saying same thing you guys were saying. Check the accessibility. That's one I don't think it is.
Yeah.
But I did check Narrator. I know I did that because...
Yeah, but you can turn it on in two different places, and God forbid they should mirror each other and show you that the other one's turned off. This is Windows.
Yeah, I don't think Mac OS is much better with that. There's layers and layers.
Yeah,
of
that's why when I go downstairs in my Linux machine, I love it.
I know, but
it's the two upstairs that I need for my ham radio because I'm still waiting on this one stupid program.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, the thing of it is, though, it was last update was February of this year, and he promised us something by Christmas. I still got a couple days.
2 days.
I got to give the guy credit. He is moving away from Microsoft database. And access.
He's still using a Jet database? Oh, my God.
He is going to SQL because he's had enough of Microsoft constantly changing the database that it messes it up for literally thousands of hams.
Yep.
Using their program.
SQLite, SQLite, SQLite.
Oh, I love it. It's I've got two other programs that use SQLite, and they are fast, not a lot of memory, you know, on the machines, and they just hum along. And these are some major databases.
Yeah.
You know, I've got like, 46,000 entries?
Yeah.
Just
for,
in this
for a database that's, I mean, you could have a text file. With, for 46,000.
Yeah.
Honestly, for the speed of computers today,
right?
If it's less than 100,000 whatever, you could have it in a text file, load it into memory, and it's and not need to do a database
but
thing
the
at all.
Microsoft, that just goes...
Well, except that the Jet database would take half an hour to go through that.
And, yeah. I mean,
it had a time. It had a season.
It had...
It was
to everything there is a season, and and it's late
this
fall, if not
it.
Deep winter for Jet.
This
season long past decades ago.
But yeah, but in terms of narrator,
I'll check accessibility.
You know, Windows is very biblical. The left hand knoweth not what the right hand is doing.
That, no lie
in this
there.
Case,
no lie
in this
there.
Case, the left hand knoweth not that there is a right hand. So check both places.
One thing I do have to say, though. Is since I got that new hard drive, I have loved very much that I was able just to get it formatted, put Windows on it, and all I had to do was log in with my Google account.
Yeah.
Boom. Everything's there.
Yeah.
My network drives, they're there. I just pointed it up to where my folder is that I have that I've created that the programs that I use. Mm-hmm. I just dragged it down, started installing. I was up and running.
Yep.
Whereas before the old days, it was your worst nightmare reinstalling stuff and setting stuff up and losing emails and all that.
Oh, for Linux people, there's a new if you're using apt, the Debian package manager.
Yep.
There's a new program called Nala, like Lion King, Nala. And it does multitasking. So it'll download multiple things at once. So
okay.
It's much faster.
Oh, okay.
You can also say
like
Nala.
Like a zip file?
It's called Nala.
Yeah, but is it like a zip file where...
No. This is to install programs. So in app, the way it works now, you download one, you download the second, you download the
third. Okay,
This one will download 10 programs simultaneously, and then
it orchestrates it so that everything that happens locally is as fast as possible.
Right.
So it'll bundle them all together and download them all at once.
Right.
No, I think it downloads them...
Downloads them individually.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's all in the background. But the point is it can download 10 programs simultaneously. The other thing it does, which I love, is you can say Nala fetch, and Nala will go out and look at every mirror that Linux uses, that the Debian Linux uses, and show you them all and let you pick the fastest ones. So it says take a minimum of 3.
Yeah.
So I take the top 3.
Yeah.
You know, 12 seconds, 13 milliseconds, 12 milliseconds, 13 milliseconds, 13 milliseconds.
You got to wait that long?
Yeah, exactly. I say 1, 2, 3 with spaces in between them. I hit enter. It says, you sure you want to do this? I say yes. And then my downloads are like that. And normally you would say sudo apt update, wait for it to update. Then sudo apt upgrade and wait for it to upgrade. Now you just say sudo nala upgrade. It does the update and the upgrade, asks you in between, yes or no, what do you want to do? But it does it all by itself, one command, simple, fast, easy. I'm loving it. It's not on older systems. It's on the newer systems.
Sure.
But
there's probably a backport.
It probably is. I haven't found one, but I've only been playing with it for 3 days.
Mm-hmm. You know,
and it's pretty. I think it uses Rich. In the background, because it's all Python, but uses the rich back end to do colors and little pictures and boxes and things. Oh, it's pretty.
One thing I'd like to know for many of our listeners out there, has anybody gotten and worked with a Raspberry Pi 5?
Yeah, I haven't gotten one. No, I'm waiting. I'm waiting until after the first of the year.
I'm just curious if any of our listeners, you know, because there's a number of enthusiasts out there that like the Raspberry Pis. If anybody out there has gotten a Raspberry Pi, please give us a call and let us know what you think of your five.
Yeah.
Because there's a number of updates to the operating systems, and there's multiple ones. And I hear, rumor has it, that they're running darn good, pretty solid. Graphics are unbelievable.
And it's faster.
Yeah. But it's a faster machine.
The thing I think is exciting is it doesn't really come with like a slot, but it comes with a header.
Yeah.
So that you can, with an adapter, plug in a PCI card.
Right.
And I want to say it's limited to like a 4-lane, the 4X card, so you're not going to have like a, you know, a video card or something. But that opens up a lot, like a bunch of exciting things you could do hardware-wise that previous Raspberry Pis can't really do.
Yeah.
It's my Christmas tree this year.
I love it.
It's a little a PCB board.
Yes.
You
LEDs.
Put it together with little LEDs on it. Stick it in the GPIO pins of a Raspberry Pi. Run a little program. They twinkle.
Yeah. I'm not sure what language the term soldering comes from, but I think it translates to I burned myself.
Yes. Yes.
In my experience, I got the soldering iron.
I had a friend with whom I worked at the computer center. One day I come in and I hear swearing from the back room. And I go in the back, and there is my friend. I will not mention his name. If he's listening, he knows who this is. And he's soldering away at a board. It's the middle of summer. It's 150 degrees in the place. He's wearing shorts. And he keeps dripping solder on his leg.
Oh, dear.
Ooh.
And swearing. And I said, "What? Move your leg. How hard is that?" But, you know, you get involved, you get something, and you don't think about it.
My brother still amazes me. Of course, he's done this for a profession for years. And this is back in the days. Remember when we used to take memory chips, and they had to go in to those little sockets? He could sit there and we could take out a motherboard, and he could, because if one of the brackets got broken from snapping.
Yep.
He could sit there and quick unsolder all 128 of those little pins, resolder them, and it looked better than the original flow machine that did it.
That is daunting skill.
My brother is great at that. And amazing. I used to just call him up and say, "Hey, come on over for dinner. We need you to do a soldering job." Okay.
Does he have a YouTube channel? Because I would watch that.
I would just watch. When someone can solder, whether it's metal work or anything, where that bead is just perfect, it is so satisfying.
Yeah,
I can't.
I've gotten somewhat proficient, only because ham radio has required me to soldering up coax connectors and everything else. So.
I have never been really good at soldering, but certainly as I get older and my eyes get worse, my hands start to shake. Soldering is not my thing anymore. I can no longer do
you need more of the cables. The helping hand things.
So you have to hold.
That's my strategy.
Right.
I still burn myself.
And I can't do network cable ends anymore.
Oh, no.
I can't see them. My hands don't do that anymore. In fact, the last time I changed phones, I went to the phone place and I told the guy, look at these mitts. Can you move the SIM card for me?
Yeah.
They were very nice about it, so that was not a problem. But, I don't have that skill anymore.
Yep.
With the arthritis.
Right.
That definitely, you know, what I used to be able to work with and that can't do it anymore.
Yeah, me too. That's what that is.
Steve says that he saw a woman at Corning Glass glass blowing a vase in shorts.
No, that's gutsy. That's confidence right there.
Yeah.
That's a confident human being.
That's a skill set beyond.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Tim from Webster, New York. What's up, Tim?
Yeah, hi, guys. I recently changed my phone carrier, and I used to be with Verizon, so I was used to using their text app, the Verizon Messages Plus.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have a new phone now, and I need to change. I had a horrible dilemma with trying to make sure I didn't lose any texts previously. I did call in about that a few months back, and I got lucky. I was able to back them up and save them. What I'd like to know, though, I've had a really tough time trying to search for an answer to this. What would you guys suggest as a new text app for my new phone with my new carrier that I'll always be able to have there? Is should I change phones and change carriers?
Android or Apple?
Android.
Use Google's Messages.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The one with the blue word balloon icons.
You know what's interesting about that is that's what my mom uses, and she had an interesting problem with hers this week whereby all her emojis changed color. And
yeah, they updated those. Yeah, they updated those. There's a whole new set of them, and they're 3D or some nonsense. But yes, but okay. They did that on purpose. The idea here, and maybe everybody should hear this, because the end of the year is a beautiful time to back up your phone.
And everything else you care about.
And everything else you care about. But you should back up. We talk backup all the time. You should back up everything. One of the lovely things about the Android
ecosystem.
Now, on the Mac, you already have all this. There's one app that everybody uses, and it works. In the Apple ecosystem, and I talked about this a little bit last week.
You mean Android?
Excuse me, the Android ecosystem. I talked about this a little last week. The big dog has to be the last one to mark the tree. When you have a non-Google phone, that is to say a not Pixel phone, the carrier will probably change the apps that are the defaults. So if you have a Samsung phone, the Samsung messaging app is the default. Et cetera, throughout the various lines.
Sprint or Verizon or whomever.
Right. But those do not automatically back up. If you have the Google ecosystem and the Google apps and you have logged in as a Google user.
Yeah.
Then everything gets backed up to the cloud. You can go to messages.google.com. You can go to photos.google.com, et cetera, et cetera. All your stuff is there. You can also go to takeout.google.com and download anything you want and then save it somewhere else. And that's a great thing to do at the end of the year. If you go to takeout.google.com, assuming you have set it up beforehand and you've got it working, you will find everything there. Not just text messages and phone messages, but... Yeah. Voice messages and photos and 100,000 other things. But whatever programs you use, find out how to back them up, because many of them will allow you to back them up, but don't by default do the backup.
Do I need to stay with, I plan on staying with Android, but just in case, if I switched over to an iProduct, would all that still be available to me?
Well, it would still be available to you as text files on your computer once you downloaded them.
If you do the takeout,
if you
download from Google, but if you're asking if you translate if you switch from an Android phone to an iPhone and then you go into the iMessage app on your phone, will your messages be there? Almost certainly not.
Right.
Yeah, I understand that. Okay, are you guys on YouTube right now so I could re-listen to this?
We are recording it. Steve is recording it.
Great.
And it should be up by tomorrow.
I think the link to watch it now should be on soundbites.org, right?
Right, and you can see you should be able to see the YouTube video in about, I don't know how long it takes to process.
What does Steve really do day to day, though? I mean, shouldn't he just get on it?
He should be on it. It's not like he's working or anything.
Okay, great. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too. If you're not using, if you are using an Android phone and you're not using the Google apps,
you probably should switch.
You should switch. And take a look at takeout.google.com and all the things that you can download.
Yeah.
And you should be using that. And we've said this 100 times as well. If you're already paying for Amazon Prime, you also have unlimited photo storage there as well. Why are you not taking advantage of it?
Yeah.
It's a one download app. Put it on your phone. Say yes. Back up everything. Up they go. You win. You've now got your photos in two places. And then through Google Takeout, you can download them and save them in a third place. So you've now got your backups ready for you and keeping you safer.
Yeah.
And we've said this a million times. The one thing you cannot ever replace our photos. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Chris Horn, me, Nick Francesco, Steve Ray virtually in the StreamYard thing, and you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the Christmas Eve edition of Soundbites right here on the truly great and truly grateful to you that we are member-supported Jazz 90.1. We'll see you in just a couple of minutes.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Chris Horn, coming to you from 1923.
And 34 minutes after the hour, we're bringing you the sound bites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1 on the wireless.
You got to follow that, Dave. On the radio, when we laugh hey, like Nick, that, it's the look from Dave.
As really, the year winds down, we get looser and looser.
This is as tight as I get.
I think we know this. I haven't been this tight in a long time. Apple issued a surprise update for all iPhone users Tuesday. It's update week. Promising to fix a plethora of bugs.
The whole phone?
Yeah. What exactly those fixes are, however, remains a mystery. This update provides important bug fixes and recommended for all users is the rather scant description of the iOS 17.2.1. Apple released iOS 17.2.1 just 1 week after rolling out iOS 17.2.0. And as Steve says, wait for the 0.1 update. Here it is, which contains a horde of innovative features, including the new journal app and an upgraded security measure. Also comes just days after Apple unveiled beta versions of 17.3, leaving many users confused as to why another minor update would be squeezed in before the widespread release of the update. While the English language release contains no details of the bug fixes, both the Japanese and Chinese versions promise to address an issue where the battery may drain quickly under certain conditions. Rapid battery drainage appears to be a widespread issue for users after updating their iPhone to the previous iOS update, with many owners taking to social media to air their grievances. Although Apple recommends the newest update for all users, the update does not appear to be urgent, unless, of course, your battery is dying.
Mm-hmm.
It was not released as a rapid security response, which could indicate that it does not address security issues. Apple could have released iOS 17.2.1 just in time for the holidays, so new users could update their devices before they become distracted by the holiday season, or so that new devices will be ready for gift-giving. iPhones have recently fallen victim to spyware attacks, prompting Apple to beef up its security features. They released stolen device protection last week on the iOS 17.3 developer beta, which prevents thieves from accessing smartphones with pilfered passwords, which you will see in the update of 17.3. Don't call and ask me why you don't have it now or how to get it. Is your iPhone up to date? Give us a call if you can. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. It's important, generally speaking, to do updates when they come out. This, again, does not appear to be urgent. But it is, I think,
soundbites, please hold.
If you're having battery issues, I think this is the one to install. All right, to the phones. Our next caller is Fred from Rochester, New York. What's up, Fred?
Hey, happy holidays.
And the same to you.
Glad you're enjoying those rum balls.
Oh, they're good.
While you're still conscious, we're going to call in and ask some questions about. You had mentioned the Google Messages, and I have a Galaxy phone that came with both installed,
right.
The Samsung and the Google. I switched over some time ago to the Google. I like the way it navigates a little bit better. I like the fact that it uploads backup and those things. But every once in a while, I get a situation where a message doesn't go through, and I have set the settings to automatically switch to SMS.
Yep.
If, you know, RCS is not working, whatever, it can't get through, automatically send it, but it's not doing it.
Yeah, every once in a while you will see a little notification that message was not sent at the bottom of the message that you tried to send. And if you click on that, it'll say, do you want to send it as an SMS?
Yeah.
And you say yes.
But I thought I fixed that with the automatically switch over.
Yeah, sometimes that simply doesn't work. And I think it has to do with who you're sending messages to. Because when it happens to me, it's always the same group of people.
Okay. So my daughter and I have identical phones.
Yep.
We have identical carrier. We're both using Google.
Yep.
And it's happening to you? To her?
And it's happening when I send it to her. It's happened when she sends it to me, but not quite as frequently. I sent something to her, and I wondered why I didn't get a response back. And you know, I don't sit there and stare at my phone.
Right.
But I, you know, I went back to send her another message like, hey, where are you? And that's when I saw the thing that said didn't send. I said, damn, I thought I fixed that.
So for Android, I don't have an Android phone. For Android phone, is there a setting where you can say, for my messaging, use Wi-Fi or use cellular data first and then fall back on the text messaging, the SMS protocol?
I'm using data always. I don't have Wi-Fi anything.
Right.
And it does have a setting that says on the Google messaging settings to automatically switch to that if it doesn't.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I appreciate the end-to-end encryption, but most of the stuff I send doesn't matter anyway. I don't care who sees it.
Yeah.
You know, if the whole wide world wants to see that I said, how's things going? So what?
Do you have Wi-Fi at home? Could you put your phone on Wi-Fi?
No, I don't. I'm working strictly off my phone.
Yeah. So for me, that's the thing that makes all of this stuff more reliable is letting my phone use Wi-Fi, use the internet first, and then fall back to cellular data, everything. Because the internet's kind of more reliable, a more reliable connection than the cell tower closest to my house.
Okay. And it only happens when I send it to her. And like I said, we have identical.
That's weird.
And we live about 3 miles apart.
Yeah. So under in messages, not in a person's messages, but in messages itself, if you click on your face in the upper right and go to messages settings.
Right.
On my phone, at least, the top choice is RCS chats.
Correct.
And I turned on use Wi-Fi or data for messaging when available. So it will use either that is available. Make sure that's on both for your phone and her phone.
But if neither one of us have Wi-Fi available, then is that going to help?
It's Wi-Fi or data.
Exactly. So it's Wi-Fi or data.
Okay.
And then there's a separate choice for automatically resend as text.
Yep, I have both of those selected. Use Wi-Fi or data messages when available is selected. And send receipt. The indicators, I forgot where I found it now, but it's there.
Yeah, and maybe check her phone. Maybe her side
right
is the weird part.
Okay.
Right. And okay. And again, sometimes it just happens. There are people for whom I have a problem, with whom I have a problem, not with them. You know what I mean?
Is it me?
Is it you, Chris? I have a problem with Chris.
Our balls. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would make those checks and you know, wait the extra half a second to see if it's sent.
Yeah, usually it takes a little bit longer than that to come back with that message.
Yeah,
because it's so, trying, right? It's in the background. Yeah. It's
you,
really
you also
trying
have
to
remember that in terms of the way the carriers work, text messaging is women and children first, right? It is the lowest priority on the network. I have gotten text messages 2 days after they were sent.
Wow.
Because it's whatever the person who sent it, whatever network they're on, it's a very low priority, and their network was full.
Okay.
You know, their carrier was slowing down text messages because they, you know, voice messages were the priority.
Because these days, they basically don't make any money on text messaging.
Right. Right. Back in the day when you know, you paid per text message.
Right.
They were happy to have you send all you wanted.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. All right. I'm sorry we don't have an answer for that, though, Fred.
I know when I send pictures, those usually I can expect to take longer.
Right.
You know, if I've got a issue at work and I send a picture of the problem to my boss,
right.
You know, I usually talk to him in person before he gets the picture. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, good luck.
Yeah. I'll have to check her phone, make sure we've got the same settings. So.
Yep.
All right, thanks.
You're welcome.
All right, have fun.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I know there's... The problem with a lot of these sorts of problems there's often nothing you can do. It's the carrier. You know, it's entirely out of your hands.
Yeah. And as an error condition...
Right.
It might be the least tested, least reliable kind of functionality you've got... On your phone or your computer or whatever.
And again, text messaging is such a low priority.
Yes.
You know, if you're a tech and you say, well, I've got two problems. One is with voice messaging and one is with...
Plankington, Pennsylvania.
Plankington, Pennsylvania?
Whoa, that sounds awesome.
All righty. Our next caller is Joel, apparently calling from Plankington, Pennsylvania.
There is no such place, guys. It's Jenkintown, and it's a suburb north of Philadelphia. I'm formerly of Pittsford, New York.
Ah, there you go, Jenkintown. Dave Enright has...
No, time out here. I'm trying to answer a phone. Well, two folks are talking at the top of their voice,
yep.
And I'm trying to listen with a phone up to my ear... Well, they're talking right into it. So if I mispronounce or get something wrong, it's not my fault.
Jenkintown, he can't pronounce, but Wackabuck he had.
Yeah, you got
because
it.
She wasn't. We weren't
job.
On the air.
All right, what's up, Joel?
Okay, Chris reminded me of something earlier today. I have an i5 laptop. That has a microprocessor that is one generation too old to qualify for Windows 11.
Yep.
And I had made an attempt to put Windows 11 on it following some of the online instructions, the registry changes, et cetera. And it didn't go through. The thing's sitting up on a shelf, and it's not a big deal. But I think Chris mentioned a program that would facilitate that process, and I didn't quite catch it. So if you could remind me of that, I'd
love to. So what I've used is, it's called Rufus, and the website is rufus.ie. And what that is a tiny little program that will let you make bootable USB sticks or flash drives.
Before you go on, I should tell people that if you go to the Soundbites website and you search the links, you will find Rufus listed.
Perfect.
So it's already in there.
And the thing that Rufus does that I really like, and you don't get this if you try and make a bootable Windows installer from Microsoft, Rufus when it makes the install, it's going to give you the latest version of Windows. And Microsoft, when they give you the installer, it's not actually the latest version. From Microsoft, you installed, and then you got to do a major update. From Rufus, you get the latest version. And there's some incantation to open like the advanced settings, and one of them is to disable the requirement, the Windows 11 hardware requirements. And that, I guarantee you'll be able to install Windows 11 using that pattern of Rufus and then finding the advanced options. I wish I remembered what it was. Let me look
and
there.
And for those of you
docs.
Looking for it, it's R-U-F-U-S.
.ie is the website.
.ie. But you can, like I said, you can search for it on our website at soundbites.org, bites with a Y. And what you need to do is under some important links, scroll down there. The last one is search the show links. And and you'll find it there.
Well, thank you very much, guys. Merry Christmas to you all. Happy New Year. And thanks for all you've been doing all for these many years.
And all the same to you. And you're welcome. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye. Yep.
Keep listening. Keep asking questions. Oh, and while I'm on this page, you still owe me a black and white picture. Because you're not on here.
I'm really weird looking, though. Are you sure that's
I don't care about
idea?
That. We've got Dennis Worcester. How much worse can you possibly be?
It boggles the mind.
It boggles the mind. So there are quite a number of show links in our system right now, and 314 of them, as a matter of fact. And as I've said before, we're not Google. Lower your expectations. But you can search for things like Rufus and other things and find and see if the link is there. Yeah.
I like that we only recommend the stuff that we actually use.
Exactly.
Well, that's the wisest thing to do, only from the standpoint that we can answer the questions because, I mean, some folks will make recommendations, but, you know, well, you should try this, that. Unless we have the time to do it, no, I won't.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be responsible if all of a sudden it mucks up somebody's machine and they go, well, I heard it on your show and you said to do it. And
right.
It's like, no.
Well, this was Nala, the program I talked about earlier. I heard about it and I thought, this is great. And then immediately I said, but is it? So I went and downloaded it. I installed it. I've been playing with it. It's great. It's a command line program.
Yeah.
And I do so much still at the command line. If you're one of those people who just goes to the software center and hits update, you won't need this. But if you're the sort of person like I am who is updating multiple machines, particularly over the internet, And you just want to be faster.
Yeah,
Nala will do it for you. So it's pretty cool. Well, I updated this machine this way. In fact, it took longer to install Nala than it did to use Nala to update my machine.
Wonderful.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Well, it's also like we've also had folks call in and say, "Well, you know, you can go into the registry and do change this one." That's one thing in the 33 years that we've been doing this show, we have not nor will we ever tell folks how to go in and muck around in the registry.
It's so easy to
regedit. Is like not just a stick of dynamite, it's like a six pack of dynamite.
Yeah.
And you can blow up the whole machine to where it won't run at all, and all those pictures and everything else that you had on that, it's gone.
You know, the big shack, the wooden shack that a cartoon character walks into and strikes a match.
Yeah.
And sees tons of dynamite in that's regedit.
Yeah.
And you don't want to muck about in there if you don't know what you're doing. I have friends who play about in the registry all the time. And as long as they're not doing it on my machines anymore, Dave, not you, a different Dave. Mm-hmm. I don't care, but in terms of playing around in it, we will never recommend it. Don't call us and say you told me to go in the registry, because we did not.
Yeah, it's an important tool, but it's like a lightsaber.
Like you say,
your ability to do a lot of damage all at once,
cut off your own leg, is pretty easy.
For me, it reminds me of an old John Wayne movie where they're in this shootout, and these guys are in this house, and he's got this one sidekick, Stubby. And Stubby's sitting over by this dynamite, and he's sitting there, you know, it was from the Real McCoys, I think it was. And, you know, he's had a limp.
Yep.
So, yeah, he's sitting there, and they're throwing dynamite, lighting dynamite and throwing it. And he goes, Stubby, get away from there. He goes, why? I got a good seat. He goes, yeah, and you're also sitting on all that dynamite. And he looks around. Oh, and he hauls away from it.
Yep. It's
so dangerous. I mean, we can't stress it enough.
Right. One of the things I like about Linux, and Mac does the same thing, is every program's configuration file is separate from every other program's configuration file. So in the registry, all the configurations are in one file. So if Dave writes a program, all the configs are in the registry. If I write one, if Chris writes one, what if one of us screws up? We can screw up the registry for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in Linux or in the Mac, if I screw up my registry, these guys' programs are still good. They'll still run. The only person I screwed up is me. Yeah. I much prefer that way of doing things than putting it all in the registry.
To bring down a whole network?
Also the fact that nothing ever gets removed from the registry. So we've seen registries that are 2 gig in size. Oh, my Windows takes so long to load up. Well, you're loading 2 gigs worth of database.
Yeah.
And then the system has to go through those 2 entire gigs and see what's working and what's not working, what's installed and what's not installed, and what's good and what's bad before it can start up. Yes, it's going to take a while. Yes.
Well, that's why we also, and I am a firm believer of, you know, once you get a new operating system on, the first thing I throw on is Revo uninstall.
Exactly.
And then from there, then I go ahead and do my antivirus, my malware, my, you know, spyware programs, because this way, Revo.